Oh, here it comes. I feel it. Oh, yeah. You're live, it says. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV. And I just want to tell you, tonight is a great night. You know why? Because Big B is in the house. That's right. What's up, Big B? Big B, I tell you, man, Cheesehead TV Live Packers Trivia is coming back. And I expect to see you there next week. This week, got to deal with my sorry old ass. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live, talking some Packers. It's prime time cheese, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to everyone who joined me on the Cheesehead TV Patreon happy hour from 6 to 7. That was a ball. Had a great time. Talked some great Pack stuff. But now I'm here with my YouTube family. What's going on, everybody? Just wanted to come here, talk some Packers, see what's going on, see what's on the minds of Packers fans worldwide. Tons of people in the comment section already. Hello to everybody and Joey already with the question of the day. Who do you think will be Chicago's tight end number 9? A lot of ball game left, Joey. I mean, they got to weed through a lot of things there. I mean, that 10-man depth chart will certainly have to sort itself out. There's no question about it. Big B, what's up? Matt Pearson, I hear you, buddy. Context back in the house. Context was on the Patreon chat. He's here on the YouTube chat. You can't keep him out. You can't contain him. He's busting loose. What's up? Good night, Vietnam Fernando. Good evening, Packer Nation! How's that? That's my best Robin Williams. Is trivia coming back? Yes, it is. Trivia will be back next week. I don't know if it'll be Monday or Tuesday, but it'll be earlier in the week, and then we'll be back hopefully pretty much every night going forward during the week for the offseason for a while. Nags, is there a chance no football happens until a vaccine? Way to bring it down, man. I mean, yeah, there's a chance. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't. I think it's a very small one. I believe the Packers and or the NFL, more importantly, is going to bulldoze and find a way to hold games. Now, I fully expect there to be no fans in the stands early on in the season. I'd love to be proven wrong about that, but wow, that would be a major jump in a lot of different areas for that to occur. But I just think the money involved, the way things are headed, the way the NFL has conducted itself, and look, I don't think the NFL has done anything wrong, but they certainly seem to be, you know, going headlong into the idea of, hey, we may not have an off season as far as players and or personnel inside the buildings, but we are sure as hell are planning on kicking off in September. Again, a lot of ball game left till we get there. What that looks like, I don't know. I think there's still even a decent chance that they lop off the first kind of couple games, 2-3 games of the season, and maybe rearrange that schedule a little bit. But there's a long way to go. But is there a chance that they put everything on hold for a vaccine? A very, very small one. But yes, there's a chance. Let's see. Finally get to update the scoreboard again. I feel you. I feel you. You miss trivia. Krista, it's coming back. Trivia is coming back. I love my trivia folks. Can't thank you guys enough for sticking around and waiting for it. I talked to Perry today. She's very excited to be back. So we'll be back with the trivia goodness next week. It's going to be great. Sup, Nags? I've seen Kenny Clark's workout videos online. I hope Kiki and Adams are working as hard. Daryl, I've talked about this before when Rashawn Gary posted his workout video. Like, look, it's great. I love seeing them, but everybody's working out. Every guy is working out. Now, some guys are working out more than others. Some guys are posting videos. Some guys are not posting videos. But everybody's working out. It's just a question of how much and to what extent and what types of workouts. And are they doing it correctly and blah, blah, blah. Like, workout videos are great. They don't mean anything. They pretty much mean, hey, look, another NFL player is working out like he should be. He's a professional. But yeah, love me some Kenny. He's my boy. Tim, thanks for the super chat. How do you think no fans will affect games? I can't imagine the Packers playing at Lambeau with no fans. We were talking about it a bit on the Patreon chat. I mean, it's going to be weird, and I do think they'd have to make some kind of adjustments for how they broadcast the game. Now, obviously, a lot's been talked about regarding the possibility of, you know, pumping in crowd noise, not live at the venue, but on the broadcast. I think there's a good chance the networks will do that. The thing I think they'll have to guard against and or change is how much they allow the invasive audio, as far as, you know, you've seen the guys on the sideline with the cones, you know, pointed towards the action. I got to think now, a lot of that is for NFL films for archival usage later on, but there are live mics, both on the sideline and on the center on several different players. I think they got to get rid of most of that in an environment where there's no crowd noise live. I would think that would cut right through, and you're going to hear a lot of extraneous stuff that you don't want on network television. Now, maybe there's a way they do it where they just open up the mic for the snap count, kind of like they do now, but then they shut everything off once the ball is snapped. It'd just be weird to hear nothing, which is why I think they'll have crowd noise. But I do think that's something they'll have to negotiate with the networks. But yeah, it'll definitely be an odd vibe. There's no question about it. Do I see Devin Funchess having a James Jones-like role? Well, Andrew, that's an apt comparison, I think. A bigger guy working on the perimeter. I think it really comes down to how quickly he gains slash earns Aaron Rodgers' trust. There's no doubt that James Jones had a very special connection with Aaron back in his day, back in Green Bay. Funchess would be similar in the sense that he's a big, muscular guy, works a lot on the perimeter, would definitely necessitate some 50-50 throws. Is Aaron going to make those throws to Devin Funchess? I don't see it happening right away. But if he proves that he's in the right spot, that he'll fight for the ball in the air, he'll high point it, etc. And don't forget, James Jones had a tough time early on. People forget. I mean, because there was that year, I think it was the year after this, but there was that year where, you know, he led the league in touchdowns, touchdown receptions. The year prior, I mean, he was getting his ass chewed almost weekly by Robinson, the wide receivers coach. You know, whether it was incomplete routes, whether it was drops, whether it was bad blocking on run plays. I mean, he had a rough season, more than a couple of rough seasons early on. So I do think it's all about how quickly does Funchess acclimate to the Green Bay vibe, i.e. earning Aaron Rodgers' trust. Tim, thanks again for the super chat. Jamal Moore had a workout video so good I thought he was going to the Pro Bowl. He was cut about a month later. That pretty much says what needs to be said regarding workout videos. Very much agreed. Sorry, I got a text there. Number one, my question. And I would not pick this up if it was not important. Sorry, guys. All right, there we go. James Jones had a ton of drops, including the Super Bowl. Yeah, Joel, you're right. So did Jordy Nelson. True story. What did you think of the comments about Starr's number being treated like Jackie Robinson's? I didn't see that, Travis. I'm not sure who made those comments. Were they in regards to the NFL, like wanting to retire the number across the league? Because I don't think that would ever happen. But I believe and or agree that it shares the similar reverence as far as its importance in historical league lore. But I don't think you can compare what Bart Starr did in any sense with what Jackie Robinson did. That's just my take. And I love Starr. You guys know I love Bart Starr. Are chances of bringing back Tremont getting slimmer? Yes. Yeah. I mean, is it still possible that they make that call and sign him up? Sure. I tend to think the further we get down the road here in the offseason, the more it's about they might call him as an emergency fill-in if there's an injury. But it's hard to see how there's going to be an injury if there's no on-field work. Now, maybe somebody hurts themselves working out at home. Lord knows we've seen that happen. But, you know, absent an injury somewhere in the depth chart for the secondary, yeah, I think those odds are getting longer. Have you read Gunslinger? Picked it up during quarantine, and it's amazing. Tim, I have. I have a copy sent to me by the author, actually. I know a lot of headlines were generated after its release regarding Rodgers' first meeting with Brett Favre, how he called him Grandpa, etc. And Aaron swears blind that none of that is true. And there are people who were in the room when it supposedly happened that say it's not true. So you look at that and you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I will say Jeff is a fantastic writer. I loved Boys Will Be Boys, his book on the Cowboys. I love Sweetness, his book on Walter Payton. I had not issues, but I had problems getting into Gunslinger just because I knew most of it. What I had really looked forward to was a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, like the Rogers story, the Rogers meeting Favre story. But then that was kind of the one instance in that narrative where this is something that I hadn't heard, blah, blah, blah. But then to have so many people come out afterwards and say it wasn't true kind of puts a damper on your enthusiasm for it. Now, that said, a lot of the same stuff happened when Sweetness was released. There was a lot of pushback, especially from Walter Payton's family, about the stuff that was in that book. What was funny is like when Boys Will Be Boys came out, there was a little pushback, but for the most part, people were like, yeah, it was that crazy. So I think Jeff endeavored to really try and capture a lot of what went on with Brett in Green Bay, et cetera. But I was really hoping he'd get down and dirty with a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, and he didn't. And I'm privy to one or two stories from his time in Green Bay and or Wisconsin that I thought was going to be in there, but definitely were not. I think it's a really engaging read. I think it's a really good narrative of Brett, his kind of rise as a quarterback in the NFL and in Green Bay in particular. But it's not quite as engaging as I'd hoped it would have been. Am I the only person thrilled that we're playing the Vikings early since they're going to be such a young team? I think there's a big reason to get excited. Outside of the fact that the Vikings and they suck and you want to whoop their ass right away, they have 15 new players, the biggest draft class since the draft went to 7 rounds, and they're going to be counting on a lot of these guys to contribute early after not having an offseason where they can actually do things on the field. The one caveat, of course, is, and an astute questioner and the Patreon Happy Hour brought this up, there is an outside chance that Za'Darius Smith could be suspended for that game, due to the traffic stop last year. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the NFL wheels of justice turn slowly and weirdly. And it would not surprise me to see some announcements say right before July 4th weekend that the NFL has handed down a 2-game suspension for Za'Darius Smith, which would mean, of course, that he wouldn't make that game in Minnesota. So then hopefully that would be the coming out party for one young Rashawn Gary. I think the name Vince should be retired from the league. From now on, everybody named Vince must change their name if they want any part in the NFL. All right, Joey, relax. I get you're kidding. Does AJ Dillon remind you of Beast Mode? Not really. He's a little stiffer than Marshawn was to my eyes, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. My eyes aren't very great. He actually reminds me a little bit more of Eddie Lacy than he does Beast Mode. I think Marshawn was a lot slipperier. Is that a word? No, I think I just made it up. A lot more slippery. How's that? A little bit more shifty than Dillon is. But I do, he reminds me of Lacy a bit. There's that I definitely see. And I know after the draft, we heard a lot of Derrick Henry comparisons. And I am not here for that. I don't think he's much like Henry at all, other than he's a bigger guy. But yeah, he reminds me more of Lacy coming off of that final year in Alabama than he does Derrick Henry. Kingsley Kiki will play an important role on the defensive line next year. I hope so. I want him to get on the field. I wanted him to get on the field last year. I couldn't believe they played Lancaster as much as they did over him. I thought he flashed when given the opportunity, and I thought he looked really good in the summer. So, yeah, I'm with you. I hope he plays an important role. I hope he's on the field a lot more. I think they're going to need him. Have the Packers identified a replacement for Tremont Williams? Brandy, they haven't done so publicly, which, of course, they won't. You got to think it's a combination, some form of Chandon Sullivan and or Kadar Holman. And that's just in sub-packages, like a specific to the slot. There might be a chance that they kick Jair inside and then have Kadar and or Chandon play outside, although I don't think it would be Chandon. It would probably be Kadar and have Kevin King on the other side. Now, maybe they like one of those guys inside. Maybe they like one of the safeties. And Chandon's done some of both. But, yeah, they're not going to say anything publicly about what their plans are there until they unveil it, so to speak. Joel, thanks for the super chat. What percentage of players in the NFL do steroids?
4.37%.
Yeah, I have no idea. How would I know? You got to think there are a few, right? It certainly isn't a clean league, not 100%. I think for the most part, though, guys don't cheat the game. And I think the NFL has come down, not as stringently as possible, but they're a little more on top of it than, say, the league was back in the day when Bosworth and company were roiding up all the time. But yeah, I tend to think guys will certainly look for every advantage and every edge, and you see guys go over that line sometimes, and that's why they get suspended and or, you know, what have you. I do think I am interested to find out maybe long term what effect that that Al Jazeera documentary had on the place where Peyton Manning's wife was getting her deliveries from, and where supposedly Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews were ordering from, etc., and how that story just kind of died a death after a little while. Although it was interesting that Mike Neal could never get back into the league after that story broke. But for the most part, like I said, I don't think guys want to cheat the game. I think they want to get every advantage they can, but I don't think most guys. Now, of course, there are guys cutting corners and or cheating. I do not doubt that for a second, but I think the majority of guys don't play that game. Aaron, have you given up all hope on Josh Jackson? There never was much hope, only a fool's hope. No, I just use any excuse to use that Lord of the Rings quote. I haven't given up all hope, but it is certainly waning. You guys know, I've talked about it a lot. I've always kind of been hesitant on Jackson because I didn't really see a lot of press man ability. And, you know, I really want him to succeed. Obviously, he's a premium pick for the Green Bay Packers, and they've gotten next to nothing out of him. But, man, couldn't get on the field last year in favor of guys like Chandon Sullivan. I have a lot more faith in what I saw from Kadar Holman than I saw from Josh Jackson last summer. That's just me. Now, we'll see. Maybe the heat cup is out there. I can't imagine him playing the slot, so maybe they put him on the perimeter. We'll see. Do you see the favorite franchise being used by the? Do you see the franchise tag being used by the Packers in the future? Traditionally, they've shied away from it, and I think for good reason. When you put the franchise tag on a guy, you lock him into a top five salary, the average of the top five salaries, and that is almost always a pretty significant chunk of change. Especially now with where they're at with the salary cap, I'd be very, very surprised to see them go that route. Now, that doesn't completely take it off the table. It's always a tool that they might be able to use. But for the most part, they've shied away from it, and I think rightly so. That's not to say it's 100% ironclad they shouldn't use it, but I think for the most part, it puts you in a bad spot, both with your present salary cap and with your relationship with the player long term. We've seen that play out in a couple different spots. We've seen guys have the, you know, tag rescinded and go on and sign a free agency deal elsewhere. I just don't think that's a route the Packers ever want to go. Why doesn't mainstream sports media talk about Aaron Rodgers calling Jordan Love to welcome him to the team? They seem to overlook that as if it never happened. Well, Zach, who's going to click on that headline, Rodge? Come on. People talked about it that first day. I think, you know, overnight when the pick first happened, from Thursday to Friday, it certainly was mentioned on several different platforms. But, you know, you get to the end of the draft and it's all about two things. Well, the Packers had a terrible draft. And when are they going to trade Aaron Rodgers? Could it be this year? Here are his landing spots, blah, 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 blah. No one's talking about the fact that Aaron reached out to Jordan Love that night, which he did. But if it bleeds, it leads, man. And Aaron Rodgers reaching out to Jordan Love doesn't bleed. You know what bleeds? The Packers have to trade Aaron Rodgers. The Packers disrespect Aaron Rodgers. That's what bleeds. So that's what leads. Are you surprised Nick Perry never got anything more than a team or two kicking the tires last year? Adam, a bit. But, you know, considering how damn ineffective he was in Green Bay at the end, I wasn't shocked, you know. But, yeah, a bit surprised. I would have thought there was a 3-4 team that could use him in some capacity. Who knows what his contract demands were? Maybe he was talking to teams and asking for way more than they were comfortable handing out to a guy who, let's face it, he's not coming in to play, help you on special teams. So you've got to be signing him to be a starter. And who wants a non-productive pass rusher as their starter? I don't know. He's got to be a depth guy. And if you're going to be a depth guy, you got to contribute on special teams. Frank, thanks for the super chat. The moves made to inside linebackers seem more lateral than an improvement. With that, do you foresee the trend of Pettin running even more nickel and dime? I think we got to give Kirksey a chance, man. I think he is a big upgrade. He's the potential to be an upgrade from Martinez, though. I think he, looking at his tape prior to his two recent injuries, which is obviously always going to be the caveat until he's back on the field and playing. But if you look at where he was headed, I think he's a much better inside backer in the sense of not a certain physicality or his ability in any shape or form physically, but as a guy who's able to diagnose, as a guy who's like, okay, here comes a counter and I don't take false steps and I know where that ball is going. Or, okay, I see this tackle getting up on Zadarius and I know Zadarius is cutting inside so I can bounce outside and I'm going to read this sweep and I'm going to stop it in its tracks. I think Kirksey is a better player in that regard, or at least has the potential to be if he's back to 100% healthy. Now, that's a huge if, obviously, and that's why the Packers got him somewhat cheaply. But yeah, I mean, do I think Pettin's going to play more nickel and dime? I mean, it's hard for him to play even more. He plays so much of it already. I think the only difference I see is maybe a smattering, a bit more three-man line and or safety in the box. A bit more, but not a ton. We'll see. Uncultured, thanks for the super chat. Hiya, Nags. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm tired of the clickbait articles, but there's a lot of clickbait left. Sadly, you are correct, sir. Derek, thanks for the super chat. Bigger impact this year, Kiki or Hester? Thanks, Nags. Yeah, Hester's a sneaky signing, man. I think they got a good player there. And I don't think that people are like going to ever consider him as, oh, this is major offseason addition or acquisition, but he could be the Jared Veldier of the offseason, a guy who you don't think a lot about when it happens, but then he comes in and gives you really quality minutes when it counts. And I'm not sitting here saying he's snacks, but he could give them a little something extra along the line. And that's why I'm saying I think they could play a little bit more three-man line between hopefully Kiki's development and Hester coming in. That's a combo that could at least give them a little help up front, which is they certainly need. But yeah, I think between Kiki and Hester, that's kind of the recipe they're going to try and cook with, especially early on. Hester, dude, the guy's not getting on the field. He's absolutely getting on the field. It is May 11th at 8:25 p.m. Eastern. Please mark this time in this video and come back to me in November and tell me he hasn't gotten on the field, because he'll have been on the field a bunch. Are we winning ugly again this year, or will Aaron Rodgers make it pretty with pure rage? bit of both. I think there'll be a bit more prettiness due to the rage, but for the most part, I don't see them being a effortless machine on offense anytime soon. I do think we'll see a progression on offense. I think we'll see a bit more of the LaFleur playbook that gets thrown around a lot, which is really the Shanahan system, etc. I do think we'll see a bit more two tight end, trying to get guys matched up, splitting out Sternberger in the slot, etc. But I don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't think they're going to blow people out. I do think the formula will be similar, though. I think they're going to try and be effective, obviously, throughout the entirety of the offense. And then on defense, maybe a bit better against the run. I don't want to ask a lot, just a little bit better. That's still trying to be locked down in the red zone and opportunistic when it presents itself. And the recipe will pretty much I think, stay the same. And that's why I say, I don't, you know, they could be a better team and have a worse record in 2020. I don't think there's any doubt there. I think you talk about the NFC North. They if they handle business, and I don't even, they don't even need to go 6-0, but if they just, you know, basically win most of their divisional games, take care of business elsewhere, the North should still be theirs. No question about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. We'll end it here. Is Hester BJ Raji in disguise? By God, man, you've cracked the code. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'm going to have to jump. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out here. Primetime Cheese, talking some Packers. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great night, everybody. Go Pack Go.